In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 22, the Lord God says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else." Now, it seems like only yesterday that I preached from this text, but I feel impressed, I believe, of the Spirit of God to bring a message this morning on the subject, what does it mean to savingly look to Christ? Our Lord says here, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else." Now, what does it mean to savingly look to Christ? Now, to shorten the title of this message, I'm just going to call it The Life Look. You can remember it easier that way, and if you write for the tape, you can ask for the message on The Life Look. But here's what we're talking about. What does it mean to savingly look to Christ? Now, you know, and I know, that natural men, the people of this world, that's who we're talking about, for many weary centuries have been looking for salvation everywhere but to Christ. Now, we know that's true. I'm not being a fanatic. I'm not being a prejudice. I'm not being a bigot. You know that I'm not. I'm not being a radical at all. To say that men and women, boys and girls, have looked to other things and other gods rather than Christ, rather than to Christ for salvation. Now, that's so. I've seen it with my own eyes. Millions of people in this world are looking to idols of stone and idols of wood and brass for salvation, for hope. I've seen it myself. Yeah, I went to Japan, and I visited in Kamakura, Japan, where the huge statue of Buddha stands. It's been there for centuries and centuries and centuries. It's fallen, I think, three times. Once a tidal wave brought it down, and once an earthquake brought it down, and once the Allied bombers in World War II brought it down, but they always put it back up. And people kneel before that statue of Buddha, and they pray, and they give their gifts. And then I've been to Mexico and other countries, France and Spain, and I've seen people kneeling before statues. I've seen them kneeling before statues of iron and statues of cement and marble, and kissing these statues, and kneeling before pictures, worshiping these things like they were God, seeking salvation in these things. And then not only do people bow before idols of gold and brass and stone, but they also bow before idols taken from the Scriptures. Now, this is so regrettable and so unfortunate that men leave the living God of creation and the God of Scripture and worship the creature rather than the Creator. And they've taken the apostles, St. Jude and St. Matthew and St. Peter, and made gods out of them, saviors out of St. Christopher, and even the Virgin Mary. There are people who pray to her and who seek salvation from her hand and intercession on her part. And this is making a god out of the creature rather than the Creator, making gods of the apostles. And they make gods of holy days and ceremonies and ordinances and rituals. These things are means, but they're not saviors. They're not sacraments. The Lord's table is not a sacrament, meaning by that it's a way of salvation or means of salvation. Christ is the Savior. God said, "Look to me." Not to my servants, not to my disciples, not to my mother. Look to me. That's what he's saying in this scripture. And then millions of people look to the law. The law was never given to save. It was given to shut our mouths. It was given to reveal sin. It was given to shut us up to faith in Christ. But men look to their works, like the rich young ruler said to our Lord Jesus Christ, "Well, I've kept all these commandments from my youth up." And then the Pharisee stood praying in the temple, and he said, "God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I've kept the law. I've done all these things, fasted and tithed and prayed, and I'm just not like other men." And in the 10th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul describes these law worshipers and morality worshipers and works worshipers. He said they're going about to establish their own righteousness. and will not submit to the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And then millions of people. Now listen to me. You may be one of these. You may say, well, you haven't hit me yet. Well, stick around, you know. I'm coming to some things here that are true. Millions of people look to a religious experience, and they look to a decision which they made years ago. Somebody said, an old experience, it stays old. I heard someone else say, if you have to go back 5 minutes to prove you're saved, you've missed Christ. Because salvation's in a living, indwelling, present Redeemer, not in an experience, not in a decision, not in some feeling that you had years ago. People trace their salvation to a time rather than to a person. They trace their salvation to a place rather than a person, to a committal on their part rather than a committal to them by God on His part. Isaiah 28 verse 15 describes them. The Lord said, this is what you say. You say that we have made a covenant with death. We made an agreement with hell. We made a decision. We made a commitment. We made a covenant. We made an agreement. And when the overflowing scourge of God's wrath shall pass through, it won't come unto us because we have this agreement, this covenant, and this commitment. And we have a refuge, but he says a refuge of lies. Under falsehood have you hid yourselves. So the millions of people have as their idol an experience. And they tell it over and over again. And unfortunately, every time they tell it, it gets a little bit better. It gets a little bit more exaggerated. And they keep on till they really find a hope in that experience, that time, that place, that experience, that decision. And they have to go back a long ways, you know, to prove they're saved. And then millions look to philosophy. That is their own thoughts. I thought. That's what Naaman said when he went down from Syria to the prophet in Israel to be healed of his leprosy. And he stood outside the tent of this godly man. And the prophet of God sent his servant out to see Naaman and told him to go dip in the river Jordan 7 times. And well, he said, I thought that your master would come out and call on his God and say some magic words and I'd be healed. But it's not like you thought it was. It's not like you thought it was. Your thoughts, God said, are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto you, but the end is destruction. And when a man repents, Isaiah said, he turns from his own thoughts to God's thoughts. Now, my friends, the Word of God plainly declares. Now, listen to me. The Word of God plainly declares that salvation is of the Lord. It's the gift of God. It originated with God in His divine purpose and plan. The Scripture says it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the record God hath given to us. It came from God. Salvation comes from God. Doesn't come from the law. Doesn't come from the ordinances. Doesn't come from your gods. It doesn't come from the apostle. It's the gift of God. God gave it. God decreed it. God purposed it. God planned it. God executed it. God applied it. God sustains it. And God will perfect it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Salvation's of the Lord from Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end. To God, David said, belongeth salvation. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. The wages of sin is death. We earn that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's go back to our text. This is what we're talking about. Listen to the text in Isaiah 45, verse 21. Our God says, they have no knowledge, these people who set up gods of their imagination and pray to gods that cannot save. They have no knowledge. They're ignorant people who set up gods and images and pray to gods that cannot save, that have no power to hear. There's no God beside me. A just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. He says this 3 times. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. I'm God, and there's none else. There's none beside me. You see how clear that is? They have no knowledge that set up images and gods that cannot save, and pray to gods that cannot save. I am the only Savior, the only just God and Savior. There's no God beside me. There's none beside me. There's none else. So you look to me. To God belongeth salvation. And listen to me, this salvation is in His Son. Now, I'm progressively moving along in this message to lay a foundation. To God belongeth salvation. And this salvation, which God has purposed and which God has given to us, is in His Son. Thank God, blessed be the name of the Lord, He has determined to save some of the sons of Adam, but only through the person and work of His beloved Son. John wrote in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Salvation begins with God, but it's in His Son. Everything God has for the sinner is in His Son. Listen to Galatians 4:4-5. "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." And Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief." And then in 2 Corinthians 5:19, Paul said, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself." So it all begins with the Father. It's His gift. It's the gift of God. And it's given to us in and through and by and because of His Son, His person, and His glorious redemptive work. Now that's just so. Christ said that. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I don't know anything else to say to this generation. I don't know anything else to say to the sons of men. Only what our Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now maybe they won't hear. Christ said, "I come in my Father's name and you won't hear me. You won't receive me. Let another come in his own name, promoting his own cause, exalting himself, seeking followers for himself, and him you will receive. You will not come to me that you might have life." He said, "You're busy searching the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." Like I say, I don't know what else to say, but for the glory of God, I'm going to say it one more time. One more time. For the glory of God and for the good of those who have ears to hear and eyes to see and somewhat of an understanding of man's sin and God's holiness and Christ's redemptive work, I'm going to point it out one more time. Now, let me have your attention. As our Lord said, "Verily, verily, surely, surely, amen, amen, I say unto you." As the apostles often said, "Behold, behold." John said, "Behold, look, listen, hear with attention. Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, here's my three questions. The first one, what does it mean to look to God? He said, "I'm God and there's none else. You look to me. You look to me and be saved." What does it mean to look to God? That's where salvation is. You needn't look anywhere else, because that's where it is. He's the fountain of life and the source of mercy. Here's what it means to look. First of all, it means to admit His reality. Admit His reality. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is." He must believe that He is. "And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Jesus Christ is not a myth. Jesus Christ is not just a doctrine. Jesus Christ is not a religious symbol. Jesus Christ the Lord is not an idea. He's the Lord from heaven, a living, reigning Lord, a person. It says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's the first thing. To look to Christ is to admit in heart and mind His reality, who He is. He's the God-man. He's the Son of God from heaven. All right, secondly, what is it to look to Christ? It's to acknowledge And I don't mean in a Paul Parrott way, saying a little creed or catechism. I mean to acknowledge in your soul and in your heart, to acknowledge that only from Him and only through Him can salvation come. The Scripture says it pleased God that in Christ should all fullness of the Godhead, all fullness of grace, all fullness of holiness, all fullness should dwell. It's in Christ. God put it there. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By one man's obedience, we were made righteous. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Everything's in Christ. It's to acknowledge that only from Christ can salvation come. Now, here's the difficulty. The Scripture said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, or be saved with difficulty, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Where shall the fellow playing church appear? What does it mean if the righteous with difficulty be saved? Well, there's difficulty in this matter of salvation. There's a God to reconcile. There's a holy God to reconcile. There's a holy God to deal with. There's the law of God to honor. There's the justice of God to satisfy. There's an infinite atonement to be made. Now, who's going to do all that? Only Christ. Only Christ. Only Christ can reconcile the Father to sinners. The Father who is filled with wrath because of iniquity. It says God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Who's going to honor the law? The only one who ever kept it. Who's going to satisfy God's justice? The one in whom justice plunged the knife of anger and wrath and judgment. That's Christ. And exacted from Him on that cross in body and soul all that justice required of every believer. There's an atonement to be made. Where are you going to find yours? It says in Christ we have the atonement by whom we've received the atonement. That's so. And we look to Him, first of all, admitting His reality, then secondly, acknowledging that only from Him, only from Christ can salvation come. And then thirdly, what is it to look to Christ? It's to address myself to Him. To address myself to Him. Now listen to the Scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know we are the called of God, but there's a calling for us to do also. Yes, sir. Listen to Romans 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you read the Scripture, you'll find God sovereign in salvation, and God has an elect. He has a sheep which He gave to Christ. No question in my mind about that. But our God has ordained the means by which those people will be brought to salvation, repentance and faith. And that means of the preaching of the Word of God. And they will hear the Word, and they will believe the Word, and they will receive the Word, and they will call on Christ. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Read through the Scriptures, and you'll note the experience of those who found mercy. They came to Christ. They called upon Christ, and they were blessed of Christ. Blind Bartimaeus. Suppose he'd have never called. Suppose he'd have never sued for mercy. Our Lord would have gone right on by, wouldn't He? Well, that's He certainly would have. He called out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The Lord stood still. Suppose Zacchaeus had never climbed up the tree. Suppose Noah had never built the ark. Just go on, suppose the thief on the cross had gone on cursing and swearing and never looked to Christ and never called for mercy. I'm saying to look to Christ is to admit His reality. To look to Christ is to acknowledge that all that I am and have and ever shall be is by His grace and through His precious work. And it's to call on Him. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 1. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. And then fourthly, what is it to look to Christ? It's to keep looking. It's to keep looking. Just in plain everyday English, it's to continue to look to Christ. It's not just one glance and then look away. It's not just to look to Him and turn back to my own things. It's to keep on looking to Him. To whom coming? To whom coming? To whom coming? As unto a living stone. In Colossians 1:22, it says we've been reconciled by the death of Christ if we continue in the faith. If we continue in the faith. And I'll tell you this, the people of the Old Testament who believed God, they believed God till the day of their deaths. For it says these all died in faith. But somehow, we fixed our generation up with a way to heaven so that when they're juniors in church, junior department or seniors or something like that, or young people, they can make a profession and then go their merry way and forget God and forget the Bible and forget worship and forget prayer and forget everything else. And then when they die, they made a decision back when they were 14 or 13 or 12 and everything got fixed up, you know. But this thing of salvation is to look to Christ. And it's to continue to look to Christ in saving faith and genuine repentance. Now, secondly, for what part of salvation are we to look to Christ? Well, for every part of it, from beginning to end. 1 Corinthians 1:30 answers that. It says, of God are you in Christ. That is, it's His gift and His work and by His grace that you're in Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, all I need. Righteousness, all I need. Sanctification, all I need. And redemption. Old John Flavel summed it up in 5 points. He said, everything that God has for a sinner is in Christ. Vested in Christ, put in Christ. It's received from Christ. He says this, everything God has for the sinner is in Christ. Those blessings and benefits are mine by a union with Christ. That union with Christ is effected by faith. And that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And that hearing of the Word of God is made effectual by the work of the Spirit of God Almighty. So, for what part of salvation am I to look to Christ? All of it. All of it. You'll find it all by looking to Him. We look to Christ for forgiveness. The Scripture says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. We look to Christ for righteousness. By the disobedience of one, we were made sinners. By the obedience of one, righteous. Perfectly righteous in Christ. Perfectly holy. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? We look to Christ for cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We look to Christ for strength. My grace is sufficient. My grace, not mine and yours, my grace is sufficient. We look to Christ to keep us. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His throne with exceeding glory. Now the third question. What are our encouragements to look to Christ? Maybe I'm addressing someone this morning who will say this to me. All right, preacher. All that you've said is well and good. I agree. You've read it in the Bible, and I know that it's true. What you've said is true. But I'm a guilty sinner. I'm a fallen creature, and I know it. I'm a man of flesh, woman of flesh. I'm undeserving and ill-deserving. I feel like the songwriter of old who wrote, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear and me, the chief of sinners, spare? That's my question. Or, and can it be that I should gain, an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me who Him to death pursued? Well, let me tell you this. Here are some encouragements. I can give you some encouragements. First of all, I exhort you to look to Christ on the authority of His own word. Not my word, His word. Listen to Him. He said in our text, I'm God. I'm a just God and a Savior. You look to me. Now that's His word. That's His commandment. Listen to Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. That's his own word, on the authority of His own word. Listen to this, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. John 7:37, he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, I exhort you to come to Christ or look to Christ on the authority of His Word. Secondly, on the authority of His promise or the promise of the Father to Him. He said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh, I'll in no wise, under any condition, at any time, cast him out. I'll never, no, never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's His promise. Now, you believe the promises of men, would you believe the promises of Christ? Thirdly, I invite you to look to Christ on the authority of His mission to this world. Why'd He come? Let Him tell you, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus Christ is coming to the world to save sinners. That's what He said. The angel said, call His name Jesus. He'll save His people from their sins. That's why He came. That's a pretty good reason to look to Him, isn't it? That's why He came to this earth. That's why He was lifted up on a cross. He didn't die as a reformer or a martyr. He died as a Savior, a substitute, a sin offering. Fourthly, I exhort you to look to Christ on the authority of His character. He said, I'm a just God. You say, that's what scares me. And a Savior. And a Savior. He delights to show mercy. The Lord is gracious and plenteous in mercy. God is true. God is wrath. God is justice. God is holiness. God is love. God is love. And then fourthly, I invite you to look to Christ on the testimony of all who have come to Him. Go through the Word of God and listen to those who came to Christ. And listen to them tell you, in their own words, He is my shepherd. I know my Redeemer liveth. We know we've passed from death unto life. I know whom I have believed. These are men from the depths of sin, from the seashores, everywhere, in all walks of life, like you and me, who've come to Christ and found in Him all they need. When's the best time to look to Christ? Right now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Your need is now. The call is now. God exhorts you now. Look and be ye saved. Now, this message, the life look, and one that I'm going to bring next Sunday on the gospel invitation as opposed to the altar call. And we'll preach on that next Sunday. If you want these two messages on one tape, send a donation of $2 and we'll send it to you by return mail. Until next Sunday, may God bless you, everyone.